Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Oh, that sounded good this morning. Amen. Amen.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance.
The closer I get to the cross.
sick down in my soul. I tried to get well, I went to some doctors, but no one could make me whole. Then someone told me there is a physician who'll treat me with love and grace. He led me to him when I cried out for mercy. Please, Jesus, will you take my case? I went to the doctor. There was no waiting. He took me right in that night. I told him that I had no money, no insurance, but he said that's all right. This sickness I had was killing me daily, so I knelt down on my face. He said, child, it's sin, but my touch can cure you. In mercy, I'll take your case. Surely die. Then I heard his voice speaking so gently, child, you'll be all right. This sickness you have doesn't need to be fatal. I can fix it with Calvary's grace. All you need is a blood transfusion.
Our case, it was an uphill battle all the way up Calvary's Hill. He took it. And the thing is, we couldn't afford that kind of defense. It was beyond our pay grade. He took us on what they call pro bono. And didn't charge us a thing. Cost him everything. But didn't charge us one red cent. I appreciate the new family being with us today. And I tell you, I appreciate missionaries. I believe with all my heart they've got the toughest job in the world. And I appreciate them attending with us today. I was looking at the little children, and I remember being that age, being where they are. Strange church, bunch of strange faces, bunch of strange people. And it is in the fact that every church you go into maybe worships just a little different than the other. Brother New, would you come take 5 minutes and tell us about your work? Just take 5 minutes and tell us about your work, please. I really believe the Lord is in that. I can't get away from it. You got to do that. I appreciate that.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And definitely wasn't expecting to say anything this morning, but I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate you folks being kind to us and being kind to our family. We are serving full-time with the Rock of Ages. We are out of Truth Baptist Church in Bremen, Georgia. Our pastor is Brother Toby Powers. We live in Villarica. And I do prison work around the surrounding states. We do some in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, some of these other states. But Florida, region number 2, right under Georgia, is a region that I mainly work in. What I do with the Rock of Ages, we are on the revival team, and we go in, we do 3-day revivals inside the prison. And some prisons are different. Sometimes we have 3 meetings a day, sometimes we have 2 meetings a day. But we go in and do these prison revivals, and sometimes in the morning we'll do character classes and then have regular revival services in the afternoon. A lot of times get to go to lockdown and visit men there, hand out some good gospel literature to them, and try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we'd ask that you pray for us as we go. We are about 50% on deputation right now, trying to raise the rest of the support so we can continue to go. We do 2 to 3 prison revivals a month right now. We are going. We are serving full time. We stepped down in 2013. Of March and went full-time into the ministry with no meetings, no money, no nothing, but God says go, and go, and we win, and God supplied the need every step of the way. And but we do appreciate if you'd pray for us. I thank you so much. I do want to tell you once again, thank you so much for your kindness that you showed to my family. I appreciate what the associate pastor has said here, and it is so true, going to different churches and experiencing different things, and sometimes you don't know what to expect when you're coming into a place. I'll be honest with you, a lot of times you go there and we're kind of scared about how things are going to go when you get there. And one of the most fearful things when you go into a church is where to sit, because you don't want to steal a Baptist's pew, amen? And I'm telling you, they'll run you out of the church if you take the chair. But I do appreciate you being kind to us. They asked us a question, the Rock of Ages. We did an advanced training class this past September. They asked a question of us. We had a couple of the pastors there from our board on the mission work there that was there with us inside the classroom with us. And they asked us a question. They said, if you could tell, if you had every pastor under the sound of your voice right now, every pastor in the world under the sound of your voice, you could tell them one thing only, what would that thing be? And they went around the class asking every missionary, what would they tell every pastor if they had the opportunity? They come to me, and I told them, I said, well, you want us to be honest, you want us to share your heart, so I will. I said, if I could tell every pastor in the world one thing, that would be kind to my family. When we come into a church, you can treat me however you want to. You can talk about me. You can say bad things about me.
We will, bro.
But please be nice to my family, because I don't want my children to get bitter on God. We come into the house of God. I don't want them to look at folks and the way they treat them and say, if that's the way it's going to be, then I don't want that. I don't want that for my family. And so if you could do nothing else but just be nice to my family, we'd appreciate you doing that. And y'all do pray for us as we go. We are the new family, and we are new to the Rock of Ages, and we are the new family, amen. And I always testify, I give you this, and I get out of the way, but I tell them we're new. But I'm new this morning, not because that's my name, but that's what I am in Christ Jesus, amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, my life verse, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things are become new. I'm glad I'm new this morning, amen. I was born new 1980, November the 9th, but I tell you, I was born new again in 1994, November, thank God, and an old-fashioned altar after hearing the preaching of the Word of God from the man of God, amen. I come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, amen. Hey, I thank God for being born again, put in the family of God. I'm glad that He's given me opportunity to serve Him. Called me to the good grace of God, called me to the ministry, amen. I count it as faithful, putting us in the ministry, called brought us full time to this service. Gave us a front row seat to see him change lives inside the prison house. I'm talking about saving men, setting them free by the grace of God. Some that'll be locked up the rest of their life, but they're set free on the inside because Christ makes them free. Amen. Hey, the same God that has saved you is the same God that has saved them. And it's all by the working of grace in your life as it is the working of grace in their life. Thank God. I'm glad with this side myself. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't change myself. But I'm glad for the good grace of God that comes in and changes a man from time to eternity. Amen. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by the mercy of God that we're all not consumed this morning. They say you preach some men in prison. They deserve to be there. But if we all got what we deserve this morning, we'd be in hell with our necks broke, living next door to one another. But thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for Jesus that made it all possible, that gave his life on the cross of Calvary, that shed his blood for you and me. We ain't got to go to hell this morning, not because of who I am, but because of who he is, not because of what I've done, but what he's done in me. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad I'm new. I'm saved. Amen. On my way to glory. I don't know if you're saved or not. Amen. You ought to get happy every once in a while. Hallelujah. Don't forget about it. Don't never forget about the day God saved you. Hey, I tell you what, I'm still glad today. I still got that joy down in my soul about when the Lord saved me and put me in the family of God. Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I ain't never got over that. Oh, yes, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. And I'm glad that he lives in me. I'd ask that you'd pray for us now as we go, as we preach to these men in prison. And now I preach to them in prison like I preach to them in the church house. Hey, I preach it straight, amen, gun barrel straight. Only know one message, that is the grace of God, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. I can't save them, but I know the man that can. And if I'll do my part and pass out the bread, he'll do his part, amen, and draw sinners, call them, convince them, and he'll convert them, amen. Y'all pray for us as we go.
Appreciate that. Amen. That's okay. It went off. I think it did. Amen. He said that they did character building classes for the prisoner. I wonder if you do one for a Baptist church. Amen. Oh, my goodness. We all need some help with our character, don't we? We all have areas in our life that we can improve. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalm 119. I was praying about which direction to go, frankly, this morning. The Holy Spirit told me last night that I'd be preaching this morning, and I asked the Lord what he would have me to do. And, of course, folks, I got to tell you, there's a bunch of good stuff in this book that we can preach and talk about. But I know that this is the first service of the new year. If you remember back a couple weeks ago, we preached about thanks, giving thanks, an attitude of gratitude. And I gave you a long 15 or 20 minute list of scientific proof that giving thanks does good for you. A lot of different areas of your life, frankly, every area. They've proven, even scientifically, that giving thanks is very profitable for people. And then I also went a little further than that and talked to you about making a list every day, taking 5 minutes, and saying, Lord, what I have to give thanks for that day and for that particular day. And I guess 20, 25 of you said, I'll do that. Well, all that is to help you and me in our Christian walk. Well, this is the first Sunday of the year, and I was saying, Lord, what would help? What would help Westside Baptist Church? I'm talking about the membership individually. What would help them, which in turn would help us collectively? What would help us the most? And the word that came up was devotion. Now, when I was a kid, there was a thing that we had called family devotion. Not everybody has family devotion, and I'm not telling you that you should or shouldn't have family devotion. But I do believe that there is this thing of devotion, this time of devotion, that would help us as Christians if we will let it. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Did you hear what I said? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, and that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I want to talk to you just for a few moments about devotion. The devotion that I believe that we could have every day. Folks, I believe it'll help you. I believe it could change our walk with the Lord and also help us with the relationships of those around us. Well, how do we go about our devotion to the Lord every day? I want to first say that I believe that we need some quiet time with the Lord. The quiet time is a time of direct contact between your mind and God's, using the Bible and prayer to achieve this. It is a time of dedication, cleansing, instruction, strengthening. And by the way, I want to say this, it is a time of delight. Bible study, prayer, is not just simply for our sake, but I want to say this, God deeply desires our fellowship and our worship. Did you hear that, Christian? God deeply desires our fellowship and our worship. I believe it gives him joy. It gives him pleasure. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." The Father seeketh such to worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you, what does worship mean? Well, there's a couple definitions. One is to fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence. Then there's another definition of worship: to kiss the hand towards one in a token of reverence. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get this worship thing straight. I was watching, I actually went on YouTube, and I was YouTubing some things, some different churches and preachers and different messages that I just wanted to hear, somebody told me about or heard through someone, something I read or so forth. And so I YouTubed this particular message, and this guy stood up, and I tell you what, he was on. But I tell you, I backed up. You can back up on certain ones. And looked at the intro, I guess, before the message. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing in the way of worship. People would say amen and hallelujah. I'm not against that. Praise the Lord, not against that. But as the worship began to intensify, I mean, to tell you, the Lord, it seemed the Lord was there. And all of a sudden, I noticed there was some music going on. And then I heard a guitar in the background. And then I noticed that the guitar became more and more dominant and rhythmic. And next thing I realized, I noticed that it was no longer people just shouting and praising his name, but everything was being done to the rhythm of the music. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against good music. I enjoy music just like anybody else. But that cheapens true worship. I don't need an electric guitar to pick up the beat and the drums to pick up the beat for me to get excited about the Lord. And if that's what it takes to float your boat, to light you up, there's something bad wrong with you. There's something bad wrong. Look, I love my wife. I love her when it's quiet, and I love her when it's noisy. And I don't need a love song to make me want to kiss her right on the mouth. That's right. I'm telling you, there's a reverence to worship. This thing of worship is real. It needs to come from our heart, our soul, and yes, even the renewed mind. But I don't need, and neither do we need, to pervert worship by pushing the emotions of people with the rhythm of the music. Like I said, I'm not against good music, but I don't believe we use or abuse a product that God gave us to push false worship. Amen. Worship is emotional, by the way. You can't separate the two, but you don't play with emotion to get the worship. When you get the worship right, the emotion is right. Amen. I tell you, we don't need emotion to dictate how we worship. How do we? Well, I tell you what, I believe devotion will help us to dictate how we worship. I believe communication with God is a way of worship, and it's something, Christian, that you and I need to do daily. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 8, it says this, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Did you hear that? This meditation, this focus on the Word of God is a daily thing and a nightly thing. And what is being indicated to us here is it's a continual thing. Some Christians, and I hope I'm not talking to any of them this morning, the church that they get is at church only. They leave the church house. They never pick up the Word of God from Monday to Saturday and then have a difficult time finding their Bibles Sunday morning. So they say, well, I'll just use my phone. Well, my, bless your heart. Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible so you're not texting, but you're reading the Bible. You know, I'm talking about communicating with God on a daily basis is a devotional that will help Westside Baptist Church day and night. Hey, what is the benefit to you? That's what we all want to know. Let's just be honest with it. We have a selfish streak in us. So how's it going to benefit you? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I'm going to give you an answer. Here it goes. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Here it goes. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Did you hear me? If we will focus on the Word of God, He will prosper us goodly. He'll prosper us in His way, not our way. He'll prosper us, listen, with His success, not our success. Why? Because what we call prosperity, He doesn't necessarily call prosperity. What we consider success, God doesn't necessarily consider success. I want to say this. I'm not against anyone making a good living. I'm not against anyone being successful financially. But at the end of the day, it will all be gone one day. The houses will cave in. The cars will rust out. The money will be gone. The Bible says that rust and moths corrupt and eat that stuff. It's going to be gone one day. But what we do for God will live forever. Period, ladies and gentlemen. Forever. We are dealing with an eternal issue here when we're talking about our devotion to the Lord, and He's talking about an eternal issue when we talk about prosperity and success. If somebody walked up to me and gave me $10 million, folks, I'm going to tell you, I'd hug them so tight, I'd probably kill them. Okay? Then I'd spend my time in prison, and brother, you'd have to come see me. But I got as much as, hey, that would be cool, wouldn't it? But that is nothing compared to the invitation being given. And a young little blonde-headed girl come down here. And asked Jesus come to heart. That's right. Nothing beats little junior church going on back there in the back. Little invitation being given. And one of those little children going down and with a sweet little voice asking Jesus to come to his heart. Hey, I've got a friend of mine in South Carolina. He pastors Southside Baptist Church in Piedmont, South Carolina. And every time he has somebody saved, he'll call me. You know what he'll say? Brother Alton, my brother, we just stuck another million in the bank today. Every time somebody's saved, he says, I just stuck another million in the bank today. That is proper perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, we can have it with the communication that we need to have on a daily basis with our Lord. Our quiet time, ladies and gentlemen, with God has a purpose. This purpose is to know God, not just to know about God. Hey, but to know God is the goal for our quiet time with the Lord. How we pray, how we delight and think on God is the true measure of our relationship with Him. John 14:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Listen to this. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for the quiet time, and that's for us to abide in Him, Him to abide in us, so we can not just know about Him, but we can know Him. Yesterday, Lisa's not here to defend herself, so I'm going to tell you something. Lisa bought, I think it was me. Okay, we're all right. We're all right. Whew. Praise the Lord. We're all right. She's not coming. She bought the wrong hairspray. She bought the stuff that is not the extra hold, and then she bought the extra hold. But there's one between the non-extra hold and the extra hold. I guess it'd be non-extra hold, extra hold, the extra hold. And she got the non-extra hold. She didn't get the extra hold, and she got the extra hold. Well, that's a no-no. So I used both cans. I used the one just to set up the hair, and then the other one to freeze it. And she... Hang on, I'm going somewhere. I'm not sure where I'm headed, but I'm going somewhere. She did not like the fact that I used both cans of hairspray. She said, just use one can or use both cans at the same time, and we won't have a spare to put. And she got all over me because I used both hands of hairspray. And you know what I said to her? Because I know my wife. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, you know what I said to her? Because I know her. I said, honey, what's bothering you? Because I know good and well you don't care or give a rip if I use both cans of hairspray. You know, because I know her. I know her. I know that when something's not right and something's bothering her. And then she told me what was bothering her. I ain't going to tell you that part of it. I'm just saying that in the same way we get to know God, we get to, you know, I guess what I'm saying is for that moment, I understood that she wasn't really climbing my wagon because I used two different cans of hairspray to freeze dry my hair. I know that. I knew. See, you understand what I'm getting? I knew that there was something else going on. We can get to know the Lord that intimately, where we know what he's thinking and why he's thinking it. We know that there's something going on. You with me? Say, that's a stupid illustration. It's the best I've got. I want to tell you something about the quiet time. There should be goals. The first goal is to worship. Secondly, to get to know him. Then to be humbled by his holiness. To be comforted by his love and strengthened by his presence. There's not a better feeling to a Christian to feel the presence of God. Now, I want to say this. There's many times at Westside Baptist Church we experience the presence of God. And I'm telling you, we've seen it where we couldn't sing, we couldn't preach. All we could do is stand here and let people weep it out and shout it out and pray it out and laugh it out and praise God for that. But there is something that is mighty, even more special than that, when you're by yourself, nobody around, and God visits with you. Well, how can that happen? I've never had that in my life, preacher. Well, I would suggest your devotion. I would suggest it being daily. I would suggest that it does have a purpose, and we need to recognize that purpose. I suggest that there's a goal of this quiet time, and you can seek the Lord and tell him what your goal is and let him know that you are there to fellowship with him and him with you if he will be so merciful as to do so. So to get to know him, to humble ourselves before his holiness, ladies and gentlemen, then we can be comforted by his love and strengthened by his presence. Then also, there's something else we need to look to do. A goal that we should have in mind. One that we're not going to like so much. Can I share that with you? Here it is. Change. Did I just lose half of you? I said, what are the goals of the quiet time with God? And part of that is change. Yes, we need to change. I believe it would benefit each and every one of us, church, if we could just take a few moments of our time, stop, look back at 2015, and say, what can I do differently that will make me better and more effective for Christ, make me a better husband, a better wife, a better son, or a better daughter? So if we stop, look back, review our life and say, Lord, show me what I need to do to change, to do better for you in 2016. You with me? So my goal, to get to know him, to humble ourselves before his holiness, to be comforted by his love, to be strengthened by his presence. Let me say this, I'm backtracking a little bit, but I know, looking across the congregation, that there are those in this room that can be and need to be strengthened strengthened by his presence. I think about Brother Michael White, bless his heart. Last Sunday, this time, last week, he buried his son-in-law after cancer. And today, 8 days later, 7 days later, he's burying his grandson. What a tragedy. This family needs the presence of God and his strength. Well, we need to change. How? To root out sins. We spend time, quiet time with God, to root sin out of our life. Did you hear me, Christians? We don't like this. We don't want to root the sin out of our life, do we? We like our sin. We like our lukewarmness. We like doing it our way, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, where we want to do it. And the preacher can't tell us what to do. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm me. And they're not going to tell me how to live my life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll spend time with God, he'll beat the sin out of you. The preacher won't have to. Why? Because you will, spending time with God, you will take on biblical attitudes and actions. I've said this 100 times since I've been here. You become like those whom you associate with. And when you rub elbows with the Holy One, you're going to get a little holy on you. You rub shoulders with the righteous one, you're going to get a little righteous on you. You won't be able to help yourself but to live a more holy and spiritually prosperous life if you have quiet time with God. Well, so the question is this, and I'm almost finished. Aren't you glad? The question is this: how do I have quiet time with the Lord? Well, first, you meet with the Lord. Steal our hearts. Ask for his presence. Focus on that. You may want to praise him for a while with a psalm or a song to warm up your heart. Take a psalm and look for things to praise him for. Secondly, listen to God by reading a passage from his word. Don't choose more than a chapter. Read it carefully, reverently, intellectually or intelligently. Read it more than once. Pick out what you think is a central thought of that passage. Record that thought or truth that has struck you in your own words. Record it. And determine what God's message is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a promise to be claimed. There's sin that we can confess. There is a command in his word for us to obey. There is an example for us to follow. There is errors that we can avoid. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a new thought about God. A new thought about God that we can have. It will take time to have devotions for with him in 2016. Meet with God. Still our hearts. Are you with me, folks? Can you not put some of this into practice? Listen to what the Bible says. Now, first, let me tell you. Talk to the Lord through prayer. Elements are prayer. Praise and thanksgiving. Be specific. Search your life for things to thank him for. And then thank him. We dealt with that a couple weeks ago. Hey, it's a hard thing to say, Lord, thank you for not letting that I wanted to happen not happen. Lord, I sure wanted to win the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. And it didn't happen. It had been nice, but it didn't happen. Lord, thank you. Lord, this could have happened. I think that would have been good for us, but you didn't let it happen. I thank you for that. Thank him for forgiving you for your failures yesterday. The way you acted yesterday. Something made you angry and you embarrassed yourself on the way you acted. God's already forgiven you for it. You can thank him for that. request. Are you with me? Church, are you with me? I'm going to keep asking. Are you with me? Request for yourself and others. Be specific. Unload your burdens and pour out your feelings. Also, make a list of things to pray about for your family and friends. Use the list daily to pray. I'm talking, ladies and gentlemen, about not just praying for yourself, but others. Moses interceded for the Jews. If he hadn't, God would have wiped them out. Christ intercedes for us. Even right now, he intercedes for us over in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. In 1 Timothy 2, 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Did you hear me? That's your job, Christian. That's your job, Westside Baptist Church. It's not just to pray for yourself, but to pray for others. I want to say this, that if we'll stop praying entirely for ourselves and pray for others, it'll change your perspective. If we'll pray for others, God will work out a lot of our junk automatically. Matter of fact, if we'll pray for others, we'll find that a lot of what we're asking for isn't needful. If we'll pray for others, we'll realize that what we're asking for isn't as important as we think it is. Because when we start praying for others, our issues become smaller and smaller. Preacher, you've got problems, don't you? Yes, I do. You have issues? Yes, I do. Do you have situations that bear down and burden you? Yes, I do. Do you pray about those? Yes, I do. But when I start praying for Brother Michael White and his family today, all my problems get smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm going to stop right there. Take a drink of water. I got one more point and I'm done. I hope you're taking notes. You might be not doing it physically, but I hope you're doing it mentally. This is serious stuff. This can change your spiritual walk this year. Confession. Search your life for sins committed since yesterday. Search for good deeds you avoided doing as well. Ask for cleansing and then thank Him for His, meaning the Lord, thank Him for His full forgiveness through His blood. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Hey, Christians, we're dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace. And we fight this sin battle every day. And if we think we do not have sin, we lie to ourselves and each other. I understand that when God looks at us through the blood, He sees us perfectly and made whole. But the fact is in the nooks and the crannies of our lives, we've got sin. And that's why God has given us 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we have our devotion. Well, I guess the next question I would ask, if somebody gave me a long list of things I need to do, and this could help me, this could help others, this could bless, this could, what do I do? You've given us a long list. The next question, okay, great. How do I go about implementing it? How can we get started? I'd say make a contract right now and begin daily quiet time with the Lord. I want to encourage you to be consistent in a time and a place with about 10 or 15 minutes that's unhurried, a place that is quiet. I don't know what time of day is best for you, but you choose that. That's between you and the Lord. You may even want to use a notebook. You may, let me just make talk to you about this for 1 minute. You can expect dry periods in your devotion. It's not always going to be ooey-gooey and juicy and shouting time. There may be some dry periods. But that's no excuse for stopping. Change your format. Matter of fact, if you will go on and listen to J. Vernon McGee, you'll find he does something. In one study, he'll deal with the Old Testament. And then the next time around, he'll be in the New Testament. And then the next time you listen to him, he'll be over here in the Old Testament. And the next time you'll be, you understand, I would suggest that you swap back and forth. Just glean what you can from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Change up now and then. My question is this. I'm going to ask just like I did about giving thanks. About 20, 25 of you, I believe it was, said, I will make a list and give thanks off that list every day. I'm going to ask Westside Baptist Church. I ask you to sign a contract today. I'm going to raise your hand as a contract between you and God. Say, preacher, this is my contract that I'm going to take 15 minutes out of my day and I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to fellowship with you. 15 minutes a day, O Lord, and this is my contract. Would you raise your hand? Look around. Look at the contracts that we're going to spend 15 minutes at thank you a day with the Lord. If you would, every head bowed, every eyes closed. Let's stand, please, as the musicians come. Say, preacher, I've made the commitment. I'm going to spend that 15 minutes a day with you. Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray, not just for myself, but even more so for others. Lord Jesus, I'm going to read your word, looking and trusting that in that segment of your word that there will be something for me and my family. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you'd bless us. Bless each individual as we fulfill this contract that we've made today. But also, Lord, that you'll bless Westside Baptist Church collectively as we together fulfill this contract. We ask it in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Say, preacher, I'm serious about this commitment. The altar's open. Preacher, I'm serious. We're nailing it down. The altar's open. I'm spending time with you, Lord, 15 minutes. The altar's open. I'm not going to raise my hand, walk out the door, and have lied to you, Lord. I'm not going to lie to the preacher. I'm making the commitment. I ask you to fulfill your commitment, Westside Baptist Church. Devote your time to the Lord, not just in study, not just in prayer, but hey, church, is there something you might want to do in service to the Lord? Maybe 2015, you didn't serve in any capacity, but you may want to say, this year, I want to do more for God. This year, I want to serve Him. The altar's open. Love to have you serve in any specific area of the church, if we can. We'd love to have you serve. Make a commitment today to serve God. Don't remain church pew warmers and so forth. Do something for Jesus this morning. Commit your life to Him in 2016, if you would. Amen.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
Still praying.